Hello. What's going on? It is Michael Gustin. We are here together on the Manifestillionaire podcast. It is December 27th and it is 7:58 p.m. I just felt like recording this episode on a Thursday night instead of a Friday. It really just depends on when the inspiration comes because that's how this all works. So before we get started today, I'm going to share with you some feedback that I got last week, and it really makes me happy because it lets me know that I'm doing a pretty decent job, and that's, you know, all that this is for, is to help you understand the law of attraction, the law of assumption, all that good stuff on deeper and more profound yet simultaneously practical and very integratable levels. So I'm gonna let you listen to this, and I'll be back with you in a second.
Michael, I just wanted to say thank you very much for your podcast. This is John Gallagher sending you a message from Glasgow in Scotland. So just a couple of points to really pick up on that have really helped me. The first thing is that by the understanding is really sinking in that by choosing my state or vibration or feeling, that is creating or attracting or drawing to myself the particular future, the particular outcome that I'm looking for. So that's point number one. So really grateful to just have your assistance in helping to deepen that. I think you probably mentioned that the vast difference between having an intellectual understanding and having a real experiential knowing, feeling knowing. So that is what's happening. It's really sinking in. So thank you for helping with that. And the second part that I just wanted to highlight, which has been very helpful, is this idea that you're looking for the dominant emotion. So what I mean by that is it's very helpful to realize that you put a I presume kind of a nominal figure of 80% on it, but it's helpful because it kind of gets you off the hook, because certainly for myself, you can feel like you need to be a certain way all the time, but of course that adds extra pressure. Whereas if you say, no, we're reaching for this 80% of the time, you give yourself that wiggle room, and actually it softens it, and then that of course helps. You're moving more into the state of allowing these things to come to you. So thank you very much, Michael, and really, really appreciating your work. All right, cheers, take care.
Awesome. Thanks, John. All the way from Glasgow, Scotland. Now, that's cool, man. You know, that's what I really love about this, is that you can really just reach anybody on the planet. And, you know, with my company, the Reality Hacker Academy, we've had the privilege to find ourselves in over 100 countries over the last 2 years, simply thanks to the ability to tools just like this that allow me to speak to you wherever you may be. From where I am. So we're going to dive into the power of awareness again today. As usual, I'd like to remind you that these concepts, or at least my interpretation of these concepts, is completely a product of my own experiences, and I'm not here to preach to you or tell you this is how it is and how it's always going to be. And the objective truth, I'm here to, if anything, prod your ideas of what reality is and how we affect it. And just be there as a question, you know, as an opportunity or an invitation to grow and become a better version of ourselves. So today we're diving into the power of awareness, and we are diving into chapter 4, and the name of chapter 4 is desire. So without further ado, let's get started. The changes which take place in your life as a result of your changed concept of yourself always appear to the unenlightened to be the result not of a change of consciousness, but of chance, of outer cause or coincidence. However, the only fate governing your life is the fate determined by your own concepts, your own assumptions. For an assumption, though false, if persisted in, will harden into fact. The ideal that you seek and hope to obtain will not manifest itself, it will not be realized by you until you have imagined that you are already that ideal. There is no escape for you except by a radical psychological transformation of yourself, except by your assumption of the feeling of your wish fulfilled. Therefore, make results or accomplishments the crucial test of your ability to use your imagination. Everything depends on your attitude towards yourself. That which you will not affirm as true of yourself can never be realized by you, for that attitude alone is the necessary condition by which you realize your goal. All transformation is based upon suggestion, and this can work only where you lay yourself completely open to an influence. You must abandon yourself to your ideal as a woman abandons herself to love, for complete abandonment of self to it is the way to union with your ideal. You must assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled until your assumption is all the sensory vividness of reality. You must imagine that you are already experiencing what you desire. That is, you must assume the feeling of your desire until you are possessed by it, and this feeling crowds all other ideas out of your consciousness. The man who is not prepared for the conscious plunge into the assumption of the wish fulfilled, in the faith that it is the only way to the realization of his dream, is not yet ready to live consciously by the law of assumption. Although there is no doubt that he does live by the law of assumption unconsciously. But for you who accept this principle and are ready to live by consciously assuming that your wish is already fulfilled, the adventure of life begins. To reach a higher level of being, you must assume a higher concept of yourself. If you will not imagine yourself as other than what you are, then you remain as you are. If you do not believe that you are the person you want to be, then you remain as you are. Through the faithful, systematic cultivation of the feeling of the wish fulfilled, desire becomes the promise of its own fulfillment. The assumption of the feeling of the wish fulfilled makes the future dream a present fact. Very short chapter today. Very short chapter. You know, what I love about Neville is that he's always presenting the same concepts from different points of view. You know what I mean? And it really helps us to understand something or this specifically on deeper levels. You know, he talked about in our previous chapter, you know, it's one thing to know something intellectually, like 2 + 2 = 4. And it's another to know it experientially. And I believe John mentioned that in his audio clip, that it's totally different to be able to look on it and observe it, but then manipulate it and control it for your own benefit. Because like Neville says at the end of this chapter, you know, we're always using this law and we've been using it our entire lives. And I think this is where a lot of law of attraction teachers kind of don't really connect with you, is because this is not, it's not something you've never been doing. It's not something, I'm not teaching you or giving you insight onto some secret skill that only a few people, you know and understand and use. I'm really just sharing with you something that we all do and we've all been doing. And like Neville said, he talks about, where did he talks about the man that's like, yeah. Anyways, you know, even if we're not consciously utilizing this principle, we're still doing it. We're still doing it every single day, right? We're always going into our wish fulfilled, especially when it comes to our reactions. Our reactions, right? So when you react a certain way, usually reactions are full of emotion. And as we've learned from Neville, emotions are states of consciousness, essentially, you know, along with some other details, but primarily states of consciousness are identified by their emotions, right? And so when you react to a situation, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's your job, whether it's, you know, your career, and you react to anything with this feeling of fear and scarcity and lack, you know, this is a perfect example of how we unconsciously utilize this Because what happens is when we react, usually a scenario comes into our head, and then we kind of invade that scenario with emotion. And this comprises our reaction. And then we react, body tenses up if it's a fearful reaction. And then we begin to look at the world from that vantage point of fear, and we begin freaking out. And oftentimes it turns into, you know, a downward spiral, right? And so this is just a simple example of how we're always utilizing this principle, even unconsciously. The man who is not prepared for the conscious plunge into the assumption of the wish fulfilled in the faith that it is the only way to the realization of his dream is not yet ready to live consciously by the law of assumption. Although there is no doubt that he does live by the law of assumption unconsciously, right? There's no doubt, because this is the only way any of our dreams are, or not even dreams, regular accomplishments, anything we do is ever accomplished. We always start with the end in mind. And if you look on our website, we have a really simple example of this. In the morning, I don't know about you, but I wake up usually between anywhere between 4:30 and 6, let's just say that. But coffee is one of the things that I have in the beginning of the morning. But I'll tell you this much, before I'm ever even at the coffee machine putting beans in it, I'm prior to that, most of the time in my bed, imagining the satisfaction of coffee, imagining what it's going to do to my body. It's going to make me warm. It's going to give me energy. It's going to give me a caffeine boost, right? I'm already living it. I'm already living in the enjoyment of it. And what does that lead to? It leads to the action of it. We never get to an end or manifestation or a result without first being there in imagination. That's just the way this works. And that's why, whether it comes to, you know, relationships problems that are cycled, whether it comes to being made fun of or even finances, you know, finances are a great example. They're just the hardest to talk about for most of us, because we're so insecure, unconscious, and uncomfortable about our finances. But it's super important that we start to identify these things, as uncomfortable as they may be, because there's really not an opportunity for growth unless we look at the most uncomfortable things and get really comfortable with them, you know. And I will wholeheartedly admit to hiding. We all hide. We all have a tendency to hide from the shadows of ourselves because we're afraid. See, my cat, he agrees with me. He's joined us on this podcast today. You know, we hide from the shadows of ourselves, but the whole irony of that is that the shadows affect our lives still, because they find themselves in our reactions. They find themselves in a lot of really our unconscious, you know, life, the things that are going on autopilot. So I think it's super important to really begin to look at the experiences that we're going through, whether they're good or bad or indifferent, you know, and trace them back to states of consciousness. Because the truth is, everything you have now, everything that's going on in your life now, was once imagined. And this is a wonderful thing. This is great news, because it means that if everything that's going on in your life right now was once imagined, it means you can begin to imagine something new and create a new life. The power to create life is given to you, and you create life by means of entering the state of your wish fulfilled. Well, I mean, really, you create life by utilizing your imagination, period. But, you know, more specifically, you will create a new life for yourself by becoming addicted to a dominant feeling that is in alignment with the fulfillment of your desire. You will create that lifestyle that you want by becoming addicted and committed and surrendered to the state of your wish fulfilled over and over and over. And the biggest complaint I hear is, oh, you know, but there's a period of time. Well, yeah, of course. You know, when's the last time a baby was made and there was not a time period between the conception of the baby and it actually being born into this physical world, right? There's always an interval of time. And sometimes, as hard as it may be to accept, the time is longer than we would like. Right? But the really, really amazing part about that is that there's a greater dimensional aspect of us that has all of this. It's all, you know, and you start to dive into quantum physics here, and you realize that the past and the present and the future are all happening simultaneously, and we are actually recycling our past into our future by reimagining it in our present, right? We are recycling our past into our future by reimagining it in our present, right? If we give life by merit of imagination, well, every time we hold on to our past and we justify why things are the way they are with relationship to our past, all we're doing is literally resurrecting our past. We're raising it from the dead, giving it life, and we are perpetuating it into our future, because we're never going to take action and make accomplishments that are contrary to our states of consciousness and our self-identity. It's just impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Somebody that does not believe that they deserve success, for one, are worthy of success and have it now, it's going to take them 100 times longer to create that success, because so much of our action, and I mean, you know, you start to get into epigenetics and neuroplasticity, you know, and these are real scientific observations that demonstrate the power of our states of consciousness, of states of being, right? Of how our brain works and cycles through our body when we're in meditative states and more of a theta state, and how it works when we're in beta. I mean, you know, the truth is this kind of stuff is no longer this abstract, mystical stuff. I was trying to think of a better word, but I couldn't. You know, it's real practical, scientifically backed, education. And so, again, we will never become what we don't imagine we already are. We're only going to put more and more in our life of what we give life to in our minds. So my invitation for you is to discover some of the narratives that you tell yourself, that you have with yourself, right? Track some of the reactions, maybe. If there's an area of your life that you're not too satisfied with, look at your reactions when somebody brings it up and have the courage to look at it objectively without your own ego getting in the way. Look at your reactions. They'll tell you a lot about what you believe, right? We talked about this last week. We're never going to react in a way that is contrary to our belief about ourselves. We're just not, right? If you refuse to assume the responsibility of the incarnation of a new and higher concept of yourself, then you reject the means, the only means whereby your redemption, that is the attainment of your ideal, can be affected. And a lot of people, they may be listening to this, and they may be, Christian and believe, or not even Christian, you may be religious and you believe in this external divinity, which is totally okay. It's the same concept, right? They say, you know, imagination is the only means whereby your redemption, that's the attainment of your ideal, can be affected. You know, and I used to be a Christian, I used to be a pastor, a bunch of different kind of pastoral roles I took. Right? And we used to say things like our redemption is in God. But the principle here behind all of this, whether you're surrendering to your imagination or Buddha or the Tao or any other sort of religious being, you're surrendering. You're giving up the resistance that is in the way of you and the attainment of your desire. You know, the ability to surrender to the feeling is super important. It's super, super, super important, because again, we're always doing this. It's not like this is something that you've never done before. We're always surrendering to feelings. We're always giving in to our own ideas that we rationalize after we react to situations, right? Well, that's just the way it is. It's amazing when you really start to kind of trace the lines to see, you know, wow, I've really been doing this my whole entire life. Everything depends on your attitude towards yourself. That which you will not affirm as true of yourself can never be realized by you, for that attitude alone is the necessary condition by which you realize your goal. Why is the attitude alone the necessary condition? Because all of the byproducts of that, the action, the actual action that you take as a result of that state, those are all byproducts. That's exactly what those are. Now, this doesn't mean you obviously can just sit on the couch all day and make yourself cookies and sandwiches and feel good about your life. I mean, you can if you want to. I mean, that's your prerogative. You know, I'm not going to stop you. But if you're really in a state, you know, what I find is that when I start doing work for my businesses in the state of the wish fulfilled, you know, I'll get, you know, 10 hours of work done in 3 hours, you know. I mean, sometimes I've gotten entire weeks done of work in a single day. And I don't come out of any of that as, you know, more tired than I normally would be, you know. And so you can debate this all you want. The truth is it has effects on your productivity. It has effects on your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health. All of that is directly affected by your ability to discipline your mind and the states of consciousness, the emotions that you allow yourself to cycle through throughout the day, because it's your choice. And we live in a culture that says you don't have a choice. You know, I was diagnosed with over 7 different mental disorders at the age of 7. You know, and I was told I don't have a choice. I was on over 30 different antipsychotics and antidepressants before the age of 18. And I was told I didn't have a choice. I had to do it. But the truth is that couldn't be further from the truth. You have a choice as to how you're going to feel today. And you may need some assistance. That's totally fine, right? Get some aromatherapies. Start cleaning up your house, cleaning up the energy in your house. You know, declutter your life. Set up some healthy habits. You know, little things like this can assist so much when it comes to life transformation. And if you really want to start disciplining your mind, it's just a choice, man. You just choose to do it because that's what you're going to do. And you know, what I found is that when you really finally come to a place where you've seen this principle in effect, this concept, you know, in effect in your life so much, you're like, okay, you know, at the end of the day, it's the only thing that matters. Because I know I'm going to take the right action. I know I'm going to meet the right people. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and I was telling them, you know, I know exactly who I'm going to meet during the day based upon the mood that I enter in the morning, right? I just know it. We attract not what we want, but what we are. And what we are is determined really by our state of consciousness. In any given moment, our state of consciousness is an attraction beacon, attracting more of itself to itself. You know, I was reading a really good quote from Bashar less than a week ago, honestly, and it just reinforced this so much, and I loved it because he said something along the lines of, you know, the whole experience of manifestation and attraction, you're not pulling it in from somewhere else. You're not attracting things from somewhere else. You're only removing the blinders from you, from what's always been, you know. If you want $1 million, guess what? The $1 million already exists right now. I guarantee it. There's not even a probability. It already exists. You want $1 billion? Cool. It already exists right now. It exists. It's just hidden from view because you haven't even begun to identify like a billionaire. So why would that kind of life even remotely come close to you? And I'm talking about truly identifying as a billionaire in all aspects. In habits, in thoughts, in feelings, in actions, the type of action, what you let in, what you listen to, you know, what your dominating state is, right? We're never going to have anything other than what our state of consciousness, our dominant state of consciousness consists of. And it's amazing how it works. It really is. You know, to the unenlightened or the people that don't are not aware of this principle, you know, the changes that take place in your life as a result of changed states of consciousness or concepts of self, they appear to be the result of chance and random happenings and coincidence. But the truth is the only fate governing your life right now is determined by your own concepts and your own assumptions, because any assumption, even if it's not true right now in your life, if it becomes persisted in feeling, in thought, and in deed, it will become your life. And this is the amazing fact of this human experience, is that we have been given the divine power of creation. We've had it since we were born, and we've always been using it. We were just never told about it. We were never told about it, and that's okay. You know, I can appreciate it. But I love how short these chapters are, because it gives us a chance to really dive in and go deep on this stuff, because that's what it's about. It's about going deep. It is. You know, I try and be shallow, but it's impossible. You got to go deep. The faithful, systematic cultivation of the feeling of the wish fulfilled brings you to a point where desire becomes the promise of its own fulfillment. Imagine that. Imagine the moment you have a desire, you know that it's going to happen. And this is possible for you. And this is why we have the Reality Hacker Toolkit, because it shows you how to do this. How to get everything you want. Because it's through faithful, systematic cultivation of the feeling of the wish fulfilled. It's about you choosing to not assign the meaning that everybody's told you to assign, but to assign your own meaning, to create your own meaning, to live in that meaning, despite any obstacles or anybody that says anything. And the promise here is that if you live in that totally, 100%, with all sensory vividness, you create new realities for yourself. If you're not going to imagine yourself as anything other than what you are right now, you're going to remain as you are. You're going to stay that way. We must create a new concept of ourselves and become addicted to this concept, surrender to this concept, in order to see it unfold in our lives. But if we're faithful, the promise will come to pass in us. And that's what it's all about. So guys, thanks for hanging out with me this week. Shorter chapter. You know, I find that these are between 20 and 30 minutes, which seems to be a lot of people's preference. So I'm grateful for you. Thanks for listening today. If this has helped you in any way, feel free to send me a voice message. I'd love to shout you out on the podcast. Because again, you know, I can only get this to the world and in to the degree in which you are sharing it. So it's my responsibility to make sure that when you're here, you're getting solid, solid stuff. Solid, solid stuff. So guys, be blessed. Have a happy new year. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.